Well, as we get into week number six, the final finale week of Purpose Driven Life, the conclusion, I want to show you a special video that was made for this week. So, Tom, will you play that video for us?
Hi, everybody at Coastline Church. I'm Pastor Rick up at Saddleback, just a little bit north of you. And I wanted to say congratulations on completing 40 days of purpose. And I wanted to say here on your celebration Sunday that I love you. I'm thanking God for you. Pastor Aaron, we appreciate you so much. We love all of what you're doing. And we just keep working together to reach Southern California for Jesus Christ. So God bless you. And I want to say happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh, thanks, Pastor Rick. That was special for him to send that to us. I tell you, this series, this 40 days has really been life-changing for me. But the truth is, this is the week I've been waiting for. This is the week. If I had my choice as a pastor, if God would give me permission, I would preach this message every single Sunday. The only reason I preach the other messages is to preach this message. That's the only reason I do what I do, is to be able to have Sundays like this and preach the message you're going to hear today, because this is the message that gets me up every morning. This is the message that makes my heart beat. This is the message for why I'm passionate to build a growing church so that we can continue to expand the gospel and see the kingdom of God advance and move down the field. We want you to have a better marriage. We want you to be better parents. We want you to have a better prayer life. And all of those messages are great, but this is why I do what I do, is the message today, our fifth and final purpose. Week one, we talked about God created us for worship. God created us to bring him pleasure. Week two, we talked about fellowship, and God wants you to be a part of a church family to belong. A Christian without a church family is an orphan. You say, well, I don't need to belong to a church to be a Christian. I'm part of the body of Christ at large. Well, think about a baby. A baby is born, and that baby, that infant, is part of the human being race at large. But how many of you understand, if that baby doesn't have a family and caretaker and a home to live in, that baby will die without somebody caring for it. Same with you spiritually. You need a church family. We talked about discipleship and how God's goal for your life is not to make your life easy and make your life comfortable, but God's goal for your life is character. God has one priority for you, and that's to make you like his son Jesus. And so we go through tough times and people say, why me? Why me? Well, why not you? I mean, God didn't exempt his own son from suffering and trials and pain and problems. Why would he exempt you? His goal is to grow character in your life, not to make you easy. Last week, we talked about ministry and how God created you for serving other believers. God gave you a function, a job in the body of Christ. And if you don't do the job, it doesn't get done. I said last week, imagine my liver coming to me and saying, you know what? I'm tired of always giving and I don't get enough around here and I'm just going to stop giving. I just want to sit and take. I just want to kind of get a free ride in your body. How many of you know I would die if my liver did that? And we have churches dying across America right now because people come to church every single week, but they don't get involved. They don't join the dream team. They don't contribute. You got to understand, God created church for you for two reasons. One, because you have something you need to receive from the church. And two, you have something you need to give to the church. You are called to give in your church, to contribute, to be a factor of the body of Christ in other people's lives. And then today we're talking about our fifth and final purpose. And this is why God leaves you on earth. Because think about it. You can do the other four things in heaven. And God wants you to practice the other four things on earth, because earth is a trial run. Earth is a dress rehearsal. We want to train in these four things because we're going to be doing them for all of eternity. But you can learn these things in heaven. The only reason God leaves you on earth is for this fifth and final purpose, because you'll do the others in heaven. This is the only thing you will not do in heaven. And the only reason God leaves you on earth after you accept Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for your fifth purpose, when you got saved, God would kill you and take you to heaven. But he leaves you on earth for the fifth and final purpose. John chapter 17, Jesus said it like this: in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Jesus said, God, you gave me a mission in this world, and so I am going to give them a mission in the world. You have a mission in this world. God has a mission for your life on planet Earth, and your mission is to the world. And that's the difference between ministry and mission. Ministry is to Christians. Mission is to the world. God created you to do a ministry for other believers. He gave you spiritual gifts so you can contribute in your church, make a difference in your church. But God also gave you a mission to the world. And two things about your mission is common to everybody and your mission is customized for you. Common to everyone in that we all have the same mission to share the good news, to tell people about Jesus Christ, customized to you because you have your own unique way of doing that. Let me explain it like this. There are people that you know that will never see my face, that will never hear my voice, but they'll see you and they'll hear you. And if they did see me, they probably wouldn't like me, but they'll listen to you. They'll hear you. They'll understand you. And if you don't go to them, it's not going to happen. So you have to understand this morning that your life is heaven or hell for somebody. And God put you on earth as a missionary. God left you here to be a missionary. God strategically equipped you, designed you, gave you your talents and abilities so that you could have the career you have. Why? So that you could be a missionary to the people you work with. It's not an accident you have the job you have. It's not an accident you work where you work. God placed you there as a missionary. You didn't end up there because you went through unemployment and you took any job you could get. God designed you to be there for a purpose. Do you understand? You don't live where you live on accident. You may think, well, I just chose the nicest home that my family and I like. No, God planned you to be there. God ordained you to be there. God placed you in that home to be a missionary to the people that live next door to you. See, we have a mission that is both common and customized to ourselves. John 20, verse 21, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Do you know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ? It means to be sent. To be sent. If you're not sent, you're not following Jesus Christ. Sent to do what? Paul explains in Acts chapter 20. He gives us our mission in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. The most important thing, listen, all the other stuff is good. All the other stuff is good. Having a good marriage, being a good parent, loving Jesus, learning how to pray and read your Bible, all of that is good. But the most important thing is that I complete my mission. And what is the mission? The work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do, to tell people the good news about God's grace. That's most important. That's number one. That's got to be the driving force of our church. That's got to be the driving force of your Christian life. If you're not sharing the good news with people, you're missing out on what it means to be a Christian. God is building a family and he wants people to be a part of it. I like to say every week that God doesn't want to be your religion. He wants to be your dad. He wants you to be part of his family. And that is why our fifth purpose is to share the good news. To share the good news. See, if God was building a religion, that wouldn't be good news. Because I don't know about you, but I don't like religion all that much. I grew up under religion. Religion wasn't fun. Religion was a bunch of rules and a bunch of regulations and a bunch of do's and don'ts. God's building a family. That's good news. And his family is built on grace and love and acceptance. And all you have to do is choose him because he's already chosen you. That is our fifth purpose. Think about it. Somebody told you. You are here today because somebody told you the good news. Somebody told you about Jesus, and guess what? God expects you to pass it on and tell somebody else. God expects you to pass it on. I don't know where soul winning and evangelism became optional in the body of Christ, but somewhere along the way from the New Testament book of Acts, Christianity till today, evangelism became optional. See, when you study the book of Acts, it wasn't optional. It was part of their faith. It was part of their lifestyle. It was part of the way they live. It wasn't a gift for some people in the church. Everybody shared the good news. Everybody was responsible for missions. And I'm telling you, I'm going to get fired up today because this is why I breathe. This is why I live. This is why I pastor, is for this type of message. Acts 1:8 says it like this: "You will be my witnesses in all Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, I want you to notice one thing. It says, "You will be my witnesses." Witnesses. Have you ever been in a courtroom? I want you to understand something. It doesn't say, I want you to be my defense attorney. God doesn't need you to defend him. You're not going to debate anybody into Christ. It doesn't say, I want you to be my prosecutor. God doesn't need you to force anybody to accept him. It doesn't say, I want you to be my salesman. God doesn't need to be sold. He is who he is. He sells himself. We don't have to do it. It says, I want you to be my witness. My witness. What does a witness do? Witness just tells their story. This is my story. This is what happened to me. This is the experience I had with God and how he changed my life. And I'm telling you, I may not be able to argue doctrine and theology with you, but what I can tell you, this is what my life was like before Christ. This is what my life is like now. I have hope. I have peace. I have joy. My circumstances may not change, but my attitude has changed. My perception has changed. The inside of me has changed. That's what the world needs to see. The world needs to see disappointing circumstances and you walk out with faith, hope, and love. You walk out on top because your life isn't determined by what happens around you. Your life is determined by what happens inside of you. That is what faith, hope, and love is all about. So what are these three places he tells us to be a witness to? Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem basically represents the people closest to you. Your family, your coworkers, your neighbors. That is your Jerusalem. Are you a witness in your Jerusalem? Judea and Samaria, that's the people close to you but different. Maybe the people right on the other side of the zip code or right on the other side of the tracks or maybe the culture in your community that you don't really get along with or know well. I mean, the Samaritans and the Israelis did not like each other at all. The Jews and the Samaritans were racist of each other. And he says, I want you to be a witness to the Samaritans. Go to Samaria. These are people who are different than you. They believe different to you. They may be a part of another political party. They may be a part of another culture, another nationality. These are people not like you. And it says, I want you to go to them and be a witness of the good news of Jesus Christ. And if that's not enough, he says, and to the ends of the earth, which basically means everybody else. We are to go to this entire world and share the good news. God is building a family, and he wants you to be a part of it. That is what history is all about. It's his story. I said earlier this year that God chose everybody, but the only people that will be a part of his family are the ones that choose him back. It's your choice. He's not going to force himself on you. You have to make a choice. Jesus began this mission. And now he's turned it over to us. I heard a story of an angel talking to God in heaven. And the angel is saying, God, okay, you're going to have to review this with me one more time. What's the plan? And God said, well, I'm going to send my son. He's going to die, hang on a cross. He'll build a bridge for people to come to me. And then I'm going to turn that message over to the humans. And the angel said, God, have you seen these people before? I mean, do you know what these guys are like? I mean, look at the way they've been treating you and acting for the last 6,000 years. Are you sure that's a good plan? What's your plan B? God said, there is no plan B. There is no plan B. If they don't do it, it doesn't happen. I want you to understand the eternal importance of your life right now. Your life means heaven or hell for somebody else. Your life means heaven or hell for somebody else. You have a mission that is customized for you. It's going to take me everything I have, every ounce of energy God has given me to fulfill my call and to fulfill my purpose. And what that means is I've got nothing left to help you fulfill yours. If you don't do it, it doesn't get done. If you don't tell them, who's going to tell them? So how do we complete our mission? Number one, I must share with those in my world. I got to share with those in my world. In the Bible, in Luke chapter 8, there's a guy that comes to Jesus and he's sick, broken, and Jesus heals him. And his life is so radically changed by Jesus that he wants to just quit everything and join Jesus' ministry team and follow and travel with Jesus. And Jesus says no. In Luke 8:39, he says, go back home and tell people how much God has done for you. And I love this. So the man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. That's what it's all about. Jesus is telling you right now, just go tell people how much he's done for you. Just go tell people and then go do it. Go do it. That is the Great Commission. Go, go, go. Make a difference with your life. Be a significant factor. Be ready to tell others. You realize there's only two things you're not going to be able to do in heaven. Only two. We'll be able to sing in heaven. We'll be able to fellowship in heaven. We'll be able to eat in heaven. We'll be able to do arts and entertainment and sports in heaven. There's going to be all sorts of stuff that we're going to be able to do in heaven. But there's only two things you're not going to be able to do in heaven. That's sin and tell people about Jesus. Which of those two do you think God wants you doing on earth? See, we're here for a mission. God left us here for one thing. 2 Peter 3:9. God does not want anyone to be lost. So you have to understand something. It is God's will, God's desire, God's passion, God's heart that every single human being alive today go to heaven. That is God's heart. That is God's passion and desire. But God will not override your will. See, the truth this morning is God chose you. But the only people that will be a part of his family are the ones that choose him back. The choice is up to you. God doesn't send anybody to hell, but God also will not force anybody to go to heaven. If you don't want to be a part of his family, if you don't choose him, if he's not the driving priority force of your life, God's not going to force you into eternity with him. That's kidnapped. That's not love. When you die, God doesn't kidnap you and force you to live with him. You have to choose on this earth whose family you want to be a part of. And you make that choice, and that choice will have eternal implications. You will spend billions and billions and billions of years and all of eternity somewhere. I know it's not politically correct to talk about hell anymore. But the truth is, the cross was the greatest salvage operation in the history of mankind. Jesus went to that cross. You want to know how much Jesus loves your neighbors? He says, I love your neighbors this much. This is how much I love you. I love your neighbors so much that I gave everything. Everything to love them. I didn't hold anything back to love them. I gave it all to make a difference in their life. And he leaves us here for one mission to share the good news with those in need, to share that good news. See, people come and they say, well, I don't want to be in a large church. I don't want to be in a church. There's too many people. We're too big. Basically, that attitude is saying the rest of the world can just go to hell. We're too big. We got enough people for our club. We got enough people for our group. We don't want to introduce anyone else to what's going on here. We want to keep our group together and the rest of the world can just go to hell. That's the attitude. But see, we are called by Christ to reach people for eternity. That is why this church exists. We are here for one reason, to be a light on a hill, to be the salt of this earth, to share the good news, the love, the hope of Jesus Christ with people. They've got enough religion out there. They've got enough people beating them up out there. They need someone to give them a little bit of good news that they are loved, that they are accepted, that they have a God who is all powerful and omnipotent, that doesn't want to be their religion, but wants to be their dad and wants them to be a part of their family. We've got the hope of the world. Why wouldn't we want to share it? Why wouldn't we want to spread what God has given us to the entire world? That is our mission, to reach our world, to reach beyond our world. I think of dear couple in our church, Al and Carol. in their years winding down their business for one purpose, so that they could go to China and make a difference. In a couple weeks, they're going to be leaving for 3 months to do mission work in China. They were there for a couple months last year. They're going to be spending the rest of their life giving of themselves to reach China. Alan, Carol, would you come up with me this morning? I just want to ask you a few questions. First, I want to know why. Why would you go to China for 3 months? You should be retiring. You should be enjoying a long career. Why go to China for 3 months?
We actually went to China to visit our spiritual daughter. She'd been a missionary in China full-time for 11 years and was constantly asking us to come visit her. And so finally, we bought the tickets and went for a visit and got off the plane and fell in love. We're already in love with a spiritual daughter, of course, but we were not in love with the Chinese people or the culture. And I'm a half-breed, half Italian, half Jew. What am I doing in China? And maybe Israel, maybe Italy, but China. And God just orchestrated our mission, our life, our story, my story, Carol's story, into China. And, Aaron's been talking about story. The first person that ever led to the Lord was in the workplace. The last person, and that was 30 years ago. The last person that led to the Lord was 2 weeks ago in China. And so all along the way, he's given us missionary opportunities, whether it's in a home group or whether it's in the workplace or in our family. There's been lots of missionary opportunities, and he's been very gracious to us. And but now it's China, and I can't wait to get back. We go back in December.
Carol, why don't you share why you're going with him, why you're following your crazy husband around the world?
First, I think I did think he was a little crazy. But when we got off the plane, the first time we went, we were there almost 3 weeks. And immediately, just getting off the plane, I knew Al did, that we were in love and that God was doing something. And so then probably 8 or 9 months later, we went back for almost 3 months. And the Lord just cemented everything. And I had no intention of being in another country. Our families naturally think we're absolutely nuts and are very upset. But it's what God's called us to do. And he planted the seed in our hearts. I think Al didn't go into this just now, but our son died and went to be with the Lord in 1994. And he was a missionary. He was with YWAM, and he spent quite a few years in his young years as a missionary because he wanted to give his best to God. And someone prayed for us after David died and told us that he felt like the Lord was saying that we were going to pick up where David left off. And it obviously we didn't buy that. It took us from 1994 till 2011 for God to really work in our hearts and for that to happen. So God did it. We didn't.
I'm so proud of you guys. You guys are incredible. Give them a hand. I wish I could share all the dreams that God has put in our heart for this church, to plant churches around the world, plant mission works around the world, send mission teams around the world, continue to advance the gospel. That's why we're here. That's why we're driven to grow. That's why we're driven to reach people and do missions in our community, so that God can use us to be a significant factor in the entire world. We have an orphanage in Mexico, and in a few weeks, December 15th, we're going to invite you to join us on a dream team down to Mexico, and we're going to do a project all day. We have a couple doctors in our church that are going to lead a medical team. We're going to have a Christmas party. Marsh, you want to come up and tell us a little bit about what we're going to be doing in Mexico? And here's another prime example, the heart of our church. Just a regular guy, regular job, but God has put such a passion on his heart for orphans in Mexico that he goes down there all the time and leads a team in our church that really has a passion there. And Marsh, tell us a little bit about why you do it and what it does in your heart and what we're going to do on December 15th.
Well, unlike China, something a little closer to home, Tijuana, where we as a church have been sponsoring Ninos de Fe. It's a Children of Faith orphanage down there, 28 kids and a great couple that take care of those kids. Mm-hmm. Our church, with our good fortune, has been able to bless this church. As many of you have participated in the backpack program earlier this year, and each year we try to help them with their Christmas, because without us they wouldn't have a Christmas. But they're totally dependent on others for their food and their rent and other things that they need, their health care. And so Aaron asked me in the first service, how did I get involved? Well, 15 years ago, I, like you, sitting in a congregation of church members, and somebody had mentioned that we were going to take a trip to Mexico, and I thought, well, that's not too far away and something I can at least experience for myself firsthand. And lo and behold, I went down and was absolutely just moved to just get involved. And it was because of these kids and their hearts and their needs and what I could provide, if nothing else, support and friendship and love for them. And it's really been a great 15 years, and I continue to do it. A lot of us do, and it's very, very rewarding. It's a blessing for us, much more for us than it is for the kids, but it's a great way to get involved. It's 45 minutes away, and much like this video that you'll see here in a little bit, these kids really, really have very little compared to what we are blessed with here in our country. So the 15th, as Aaron said, we will take a trip down. It's an all-day trip. Many of the folks here in the U.S. are obviously nervous about traveling across the border. We've never had a problem, and it's just a great way. I encourage you to invite your neighbors, somebody if that maybe not doesn't know Jesus yet. Great way to extend an opportunity for them to get involved and to do something south of the border that will be very rewarding for you, an opportunity for you to outreach and bring people to Jesus. So I'd encourage you to think about it. We have about a dozen people already signed up, and would love to take as many of you that are interested in going.
Thank you, Mark, so much. You're awesome. See, that's the heart of this church. See, one of the things we decided this year is we're not building a church on my ideas anymore. We're not doing any of my ideas this year. All of this stuff is being birthed in the heart of the people. Our Christmas tree lot was born in the heart of a woman in our church that had a passion to serve and love this community, not to sell Christmas trees, but to share Jesus. Barb, would you come on up real quick and tell us just about how God gave you this vision and I want you to just hear from our church and that we are people on a mission. We are people just like you are on a mission. So tell us a little bit about it.
Many of you know, but for the newcomers, about 8 or 9 years ago, God laid on my heart a vision for a Christmas tree lot here at the coastline. And it was not, we have certain ideas that come from ourselves and certain ideas that we realize are divine appointments, kind of. and so he showed me that the Christmas tree lot was about loving, showing our community compassion, an opportunity, most importantly, to share the gospel, not less, and he brings it forth in many different ways, through love or literally sharing the gospel. So it's about Jesus Christ. That's what happens up there. It took 5 years, I think, until the dream came forth. And this is our fourth year, I think. And I'm honored and blessed to be able to work with all of you, because it wouldn't happen without our congregation here. And I just want to share that it's a relationship with our community. We give away over 300 Christmas trees to military and the needy. We bring some downtown. But as many of you know, it's also a relationship that builds community within our own congregation, that brings out the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us.
That's awesome.
That's basically it.
I love it.
So sign up after church.
I tell you, her and her husband work round the clock. And see, everything here is born in the heart of the people. Our Operation Christmas Child, which, by the way, you have 1 week to get your box in. We've given out over about 1,000 boxes, and we've received about 30% of them. So you still have time to pick up one, and you still have time to get it in this week. That's why we have all of these boxes. It's not just about toys for children that don't have anything for Christmas. There is a gospel message inside every single box, and you read story after story of kids finding Jesus Christ through these boxes. A few weeks ago, we prayed for Barb's daughter, Ashley, who was on her way to Rwanda to do a mission trip in Rwanda with a number of teenagers. And today we have Jean Baptiste, who leads mission work in Rwanda. John, will you come up real quick and just share a little bit about your heart for Rwanda and missions? And this man has the most incredible story of surviving the genocide in Rwanda and what God is doing in his life, and now using him to reach Rwanda for Christ.
Good morning, church. You know, you have a special pastor. Let me tell you why. In my life in the ministry, I've never experienced somebody, you know, just interrupt the someone that is delivering to the church, and he wants just to, you know, you know, give the church an opportunity to listen to what God is doing through people. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very privileged. You know, in the first service, I was like, oh, he stops the service and he's calling me. Praise God. He's a wonderful. May God bless you.
We called him up last service, total surprise. I didn't tell him. Now he's a little more prepared.
You know, and as I come to this church, you know, lots of things really happen to me. And I see lots of things. And I'm like, God, where do I start? Where do I end? Let me start with the box there. A few years ago, some people in Texas sent a Christmas shoe box. Like you guys send them, you do not know where they end. And the box ended up in a village in Rwanda with a note in that box. Mm. Was received by a young girl, Clementine. She couldn't understand what was written there, but there was also the address of the sender, the people who sent the box. She went to the pastor. The pastor read the message and gave her the address, and now they started communicating with people in Texas. And because I travel to the U.S., this pastor knew me, and he came to me and he said, we need you to help communicate with these people more often. And I was very happy to do so. And I want to tell you guys, when you give the box, I'm not speaking for Samaritan, but it's the same kingdom of God. It's not just the shoe box. Out of that box, many ministry opportunities, you know, came up. Many widows were helped. Many houses were helped because this family and the people in Texas got connected to that village, to the church. They got involved in fighting against poverty. They got involved in helping the homeless people to have homes. Various projects and witness of the church continue to grow in that village. So when I come here and I find you guys involved in this, I want to tell you it's not just the box. It's the prayers and the love that accompany the box. It's you getting involved. It's not giving away what you don't even want. You are giving something that is so special to you. Even if it's just the box that has something small, whatever it is that God puts in your heart, please go for it. I'm privileged to be here, and I came, you guys, I found you. I've been doing purpose-driven life. On April 28th, 1994, I was locked up in a room struggling with God. Why did you create me? And if I have to live an extra day, an extra hour, an extra minute, for what purpose? I wrestled with that because, and I share this with you, in my country, 1994, we had genocide, in which 1 million people were killed in 3 months and by teenagers who used clubs and machetes. And out of 7 million, 1 million was killed. That is 15% of the population. And God painted a picture to me that I have few days for his glory among my people. Few days, how many days, I don't know what few days meant. For me, it was like 2 days. And I saw the picture of the cross. And it became so clear to me that in my country, where young people have been misled by politicians, misled by lots of other doctrines, false doctrines, misled to just commit atrocities. And in my country, the churches were like in a slumber, not even caring what's going on. Somebody needed to stand up and help the young people to discover the love of God, to develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to see Christ for whom he is, to understand that they need to love one another. By doing so, of course, that involved, yes, reading the Bible of God, understanding that God created us, he's holy, he wants righteousness. The message of repentance needed to be preached to our people. The message of forgiveness needed to be preached to our people. The message of healing and reconciliation needed to be preached to our people. The message of the cross, that through that the nation will be healed. I was in the bank, gave up all of that, and they said, well, yeah, for me, during those days, everything was just meaningless, useless. Money, I didn't have any. It was all gone. Properties, nothing left except to see that I'm still alive. And if I have to live one extra day, should be investing in the lives of these young people in my country. God, who had saved me from Muslim family, now calling me to be doing ministry to share the love of Christ with my people. And the last 18 years, I've seen the miracles, one miracle after the other. The churches that were full, literally full of dry bones, because thousands had been murdered in churches by these teenagers. And people are scared of going to churches. I thank God to see people full, you know, churches filled of people. I thank God that thousands of young people are coming to Christ in my country every year. And I thank God that I've been part of that. But let me tell you, by sending Ashley Arroway, by you guys praying for her, I'm not sure whether she came to church and asked for prayers or whatever. You've been part of that story of revival, that miracle. And I want to encourage you, whether it's in Mexico, whether it's in wherever God is just speaking to you about, please take that step of faith, because I saw him perform miracles in my own life, reaching out to my own people, and thousands are coming to God. Yes, we are involved in youth evangelism. We are busy with education of kids, most of them orphans of, you know, of HIV, AIDS, or genocide, and now mobilizing the communities and churches all over the world to be part of what God is doing, to give them an opportunity to study, but above all, to know Jesus Christ, and we've seen miracles. Yeah. And I want to say, can you come to Rwanda and you see what the Lord is doing? Safe. Safer than Los Angeles. True. True. Safe. But where we see, even in the church, or rather in government offices, at lunch people break and they say, we want to have devotion in the public or, you know, office. Wow. Where we've been given opportunity by the government to go to all schools and share the gospel. Can I invite you to be part of that? May God bless you. Thank you, Pastor. I want to be part of what the Lord is doing also here. May God bless you. Thanks.
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste. Wow. I think we need to schedule a mission trip to Rwanda next year and support him. If you want to give a love offering to Jean-Baptiste and the Youth for Christ work they're doing in Rwanda, I would encourage you to do that today, and we'll make sure we get it all to him. None of this was planned. I know for those of you that like the notes and you like to fill in the blank, you're probably frustrated me because we went completely off script today. But this is the heart of our church, and I can't wait to hear the dreams of you. I got an email this morning from one of our small group hosts this morning, and she said, "Hi, Aaron, our purpose-driven life group had a question we wanted to ask you about. We have been talking in our group about the importance of taking care of believers who are in need. We all feel like there may be families or people in our church who are in need, but for whatever reason haven't felt comfortable asking for help. We were brainstorming as a group ways to meet the needs. They asked if I would run one of our ideas past you. We were thinking of creating some kind of display, maybe holiday cards or ornaments with the needs of people in our church printed on them. They would be anonymous with no names written, just the need in a coastline email. We would need to make some kind of announcement in the church that if families have a need, clothing, groceries, presents for kids for Christmas, help paying rent, they can email a special coastline email set up for this, and then somebody can pick one of those needs and meet a need for another person in our church. This small group leader was at the first service. I figured, you know, she wanted to run the question by me, so I just run it by all of you and see what you thought. I say yes, so I think we're going to go ahead and do it and just go for it. And I can't wait. See, we want this church to be a reflection of you. We want to know what's in your heart. We want to know what you're passionate about. We want to know what your dreams are. And I can't wait to see God raise up people in this church that are passionate about different areas, passionate about different works of service, different missions. Someone that will stand up and say, I want to lead the team to Rwanda. I want to lead a team to Mexico. I want to lead a team to Haiti. I want to plant a church in Europe. I want to do this for God. I want to do something in Oceanside. I want to reach people who are broken and empty in Rancho Santa Fe. What is your go? Don't laugh. Hey, hell is hell. Hell is not a discriminator of people. You know, it's not. Hell will take anyone, rich or poor, black or white. Hell will take anyone. What are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? And the question we're going to leave you with as we show this video, who's going to be in heaven because of you? Who's going to come up to you in heaven and say thank you? Thank you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. As you watch this video, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, where is your go? Your go could be Glenbrook Nursing Home. We have a team that goes there every Sunday morning at 9:30 and does a service for the people in the nursing home. That could be your go. Your go could be Oceanside. Your go could be Mexico. Your go could be Rwanda. Your go could be the people you work with. Your go could be your unsafe family you live with. Your go could be your next door neighbor. Where is God calling you to go to? Where is he calling you to go to? Who's going to be in heaven because of you? Let's watch this together.
Strength and compassion.
Who's going to be in heaven because of you? Would you close your eyes with me this morning and bow your heads? Our mission is to share the good news, but for some of you, you need to hear that good news today. And that good news is Jesus Christ loves you. The Father loves you passionately. There is nothing you could have done. There is no state you could be at right now in life where God doesn't want to wrap you up in his arms and let you feel his love and let you know how much he believes in you, how much he loves you, and how much he wants you. So before we close, I want to invite anyone this morning that needs to make a decision to put God first in your life. It could be a decision to do it for the first time, or maybe this morning you know you're not where you need to be. And God is saying, come home, come home, come back to me, come back to me. I don't know what situation you're in, but I'm not going to single you out today. I want this moment between you and God, but I want to pray for you. So if that's you, with every eye closed and every head bowed, would you just slip up your hand and say, pray for me. I need to put God first in my life this morning. Pray for me. Thank you. Who else? Thank you. Put your hand up right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The process is simple. I want to lead you in a very simple prayer. You can say it to yourself. You don't need to do it out loud. God can hear your thoughts. But the first part of the prayer is I want you to invite God to be first in your life. Say, God, I invite you to take first place in my life. Step number two is say, please forgive me, God. I've failed. I've made mistakes in my life. We all need forgiveness. None of us are perfect. And then the last part of the prayer is I want you to just say, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of your family. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, I would encourage you on your Connect card and your worship packet, there's a box on the back that says, I made a decision to put God first in my life. I'd encourage you to check that box, drop it off in one of our tithe and offering boxes in the back, and we want to connect with you and help you figure out what it means to walk out your life with God being first. Also, I'd love you to stay over in 15 minutes. We're going to teach 201, which is a great class to start your Christian faith with, the essentials of Christianity. So join us for lunch. We got lunch taken care of. I'd love to meet you and get to know you. Or you can pick up a book outside. It says, Now What? It's a great book to figure out what to do next. And we have copies of Purpose Driven Life for you, free of charge. Please take a copy of Purpose Driven Life. If you don't have it, if you haven't read it, it will change your life. Now, as